Tomorrow, South Sudan will be marking 10 years anniversary of its independence. First, what is your impression about this milestone?
Thank you very much for inviting me to the studio, and I'm glad that you made me your first guest today, the Eve of Independence. First of all, let me say that Sudan has come a long way. South Sudan has come a long way, and as you may recall, it has been a journey with a lot of bumps. And as we now speak, we can reflect back and say that the last 3 years or so from the time that the refratries agreement on the resolution of the conflict of in South Sudan was signed, there has been some significant hope. And we believe going forward, this is going to be very, very, very critical if, as we look towards 10 years ahead of the first 10 years.
Great. And how could you describe the past 10 years for this nation?
I think it has been probably, as I mentioned earlier, as you may recall, of course, independence was 9th July 2011. And immediately after that, there was, of course, a lot of celebrations during that day, and everybody was very hopeful and looking forward to a very stable nation, looking forward to a period of, prosperity. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, 2013 December, there was the issue of the disagreement of the leadership at the level of the top leadership. And that actually brought a major problem and set us major setback in this country. And as a result of that conflict, as you know, of course, the ruling party then, SPLM, split. Dr. Riek Machar moved out with his SPL Ohio. And after that, there was the IGAD intervention, which actually was very, very critical at that time. And after the mediation by the IGAD, then there was a first agreement that was signed in August 2015. And this particular agreement was signed by the parties then that were there. I think that time there were four signatories. And after that, then again, within a very short time, there was another problem, whereby 2016 again, there was another disagreement. And the parties broke. Vice President then, Dr. Riek Machar, left the country. And that again brought a major problem in regard to what now has been the problem that we've been trying to solve. But as you may know, IGAD has been on the front line. Again, it came up with the, what you call the high-level refratries forum that came up and along with the JMEC then. And they came up with the refratries agreement, which is now we are trying to implement.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, talking about now where we are, I mean, 3 years after the signing of this revitalized agreement, are you happy with what's going on?
I think when you reflect back and you see where we have come from, I would like to take you back to 2011. Of course, as you know, the first election in this country were 2010. Yes. That was before this country was independent. And then after it became independent, of course, between 2012 and 2013, there was expectation for elections. And you recall that time, actually, it was under the transition constitution to 2011 as amended. And unfortunately, when this situation happened in 2013, the country was in a kind of a state of conflict. And all through, if you reflect back all through, you see state of conflict even after independence, all the way 2016, a state of conflict. And up to 2018, there is also a state of conflict. So 2018 was a significant moment. And I think 2018 is when this country celebrated 7 years of independence. 7 years is a significant number. And you know, even in the Bible, seven is a very significant number. And the signing of this agreement, in my view, is a hope for this country. And going forward, what is very important is for this country to really rethink itself and see this is an opportunity that it cannot lose. The first agreement collapsed. I do not think anybody in this country would want a third agreement. And this agreement is a hope for this country. If all the efforts can be geared towards implementing this agreement to the letter and spirit, I would want to say that the future of this country can be very, very, very beautiful and promising.
Yes, and as RGMEC, you're not tasked, of course, to monitor and evaluate the revitalized peace agreement. As South Sudan approaches the 10 years anniversary right now, do you think the revitalized agreement is actually being implemented as it should be? Is it going the right direction, or this, they can do more than what they're already doing right now?
Well, I always like seeing the glass half full. rather than half empty. And in my view, I can say that there are challenges, and it did very, 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 very many challenges and very intricate problems in the implementation of this agreement. But nevertheless, there has been a lot of, I can say, not a lot, but I can say there's been some progress. And the progress that has been there has been, as you can know, of course, as you know now, this country and 32 states, now they agreed on 10 states. Mm-hmm. This country and, of course, the whole government collapsed. Now you can say you have a government in Juba. Vice President, from first Vice President Machar is in town. He's now the first Vice President. We have five Vice President in consolidation with the requirement for the agreement. And we can now say we have members of parliament, although they have not been yet sworn in. Mm-hmm. There are 10 states with governors and deputy governors. The Council of State has been nominated, though not sworn in. So going forward, you can say the issue of governance, there is some progress, however slow. It can be more. It can be better. But the fact that this agreement is actually the document that is actually, you can say, the current constitution, if you like, of that's running this country, because the government now, or the structures of governance that are there, are a creature of this document, because this is a document that actually they are implementing. So there is some progress in that direction. If you look at the area of course, the constitution-making process, we can see there's been some progress in this. Recently, we as RJMEC were able to come up with a workshop that actually came up with the initial stages that, are towards the establishment of the agreement, the constitution of the agreement, and we are looking forward to this happening. And again, of course, there are many other challenges, like, for example, Chapter 2 is a big challenge, because there's, up to now, we are talking about graduation, which is not there. Mm-hmm. We have not seen any progress in this area. There are very many teething issues and intricacies that are there in this. For example, there's no agreement of the sharing of the ratios of the forces that are there. There are challenges of the ranking structures and the generals that are needed to probably be able to be reorganized. There are challenges of the DDR, those who may not be eligible to join the military. How are they going to be managed? Resources are a challenge as well. And all these issues, really, which are there. But I want to say that because we are implementing an agreement, there is, of course, it is expected that it's not going to be a smooth road. But what is important is the focus. What is important is the spirit. What is important is the political will and trust and confidence that the leadership should have, so that the people can believe that going forward, this is the only hope. And this is what we expect.
Great. And are you seeing that? Are you seeing the trust? Are you seeing the spirit? Are you seeing the political will in moving this forward? And as you did mention clearly about the Constitutional Legislative Assembly, which, of course, all the members has been appointed, but the delay is still there in their swearing in so they can start their work. You talked about the forces, the unified forces and all that. Do you see the political will moving forward in trying to actually implement this in time as it should be?
I want to take the words of His Excellency the President when he actually opened the when he was launching the constitution-making process on 20th of last month of May. In his own words, he said that there is political will. In his own words, he says that he's going to implement this agreement to the letter. In his own words, he said that there is not going to be any war. Last night, I listened to him during the interview with the Kenyan Citizen TV, and I heard him repeat the same words, that there is need to implement this agreement to the letter. And I want to believe if the leadership is committed to the implementation of the agreement, then we as monitors and evaluators, we have no doubt that there is going to be implementation. What we are looking forward as monitors is to oversee this words being interpreted into action. And I can say, for example, now, nomination of the RTNLA was delayed for a very long time. We've seen some moves in that direction. We have seen some move in the Council of State. I want to believe that as much as there are those delays, there is some element of interest In this, although I cannot for sure say that it is to our expectation, mm-hmm. because our expectations are guided by the timings that are in this agreement. And if you look at it now, the agreement ideally is supposed to be, elections are supposed to be next year, November. Yeah. And February 2023, there should be, of course, new leadership in the country or new elections. But again, this is looking like there is so much that needs to be done before then.
Yes, and some parties are saying you are not pushing enough to ensure the implementation of the agreement. How do you respond to this, especially when it comes to the timelines that have been set? The agreement has timelines. It's not just an open agreement that, you know, we keep implementing it the way we want at whatever stage we want. How do you respond to those saying the parties are not being pushed enough to implement this agreement?
I want to say that, first of all, this agreement is signed by the parties. It is the parties who agree to implement, and they signed this agreement. Our role as RJ MEC is to oversee the implementation of this agreement, and where there are issues that we can advise, and also our critical issue is to ensure that we monitor, evaluate, and then report to the IGAD and the United Nations and to the international community on the progress. I can say that IGAD has also been on the front line in this. I think you recall recently the IGAD ambassadors toured this country to see how the progress is in various training camps. The African Union, the council also came, and they also visited the specific areas. Recently, we had the Council of Ministers meeting that were discussing about the South Sudan. And if you look at the resolution that came about, actually, three quarters of the resolutions that came about in a recent cabinet ministers meeting was about South Sudan. I recently also visited Sudan, and I had a session with the Prime Minister and His Excellency the Supreme Chair, and we brought about the issue of visibility of IGAD in terms of getting itself involved in South Sudan. And I think there is a lot of involvement in this. And as you know, of course, RJMEC is not an implementing agency. RJMEC is actually monitoring. Mm-hmm. So that is what we can do. We can push at the highest level. We can push at the level of the international community. We can speak to the leadership of this country, what we have done. We're always visiting the leadership in this country to discuss these issues. And, of course, I know, for example, I have been able to be briefed on some of the very intricate challenges that actually even the government has. And remember also, the interpretation of this agreement has to do with some of these articles, this agreement. They have, first of all, to be, analyzed. And after analyzing them, there should be a strategy on how it's going to be done. And then a plan on the implementation. Mm-hmm. So it is not about reading and implementing. It's a whole gamut of work that needs to be done before it is actually interpreted to practical aspect. So we understand those challenges. And what we look for is there spirit? Is there spirit? If there is spirit, then you say, yes, at least there is focus in this.
Great. Yeah. And you mentioned quite a lot of challenges earlier that was affecting the speedy, of course, implementation of this peace agreement. You mentioned about the forces and all that. Is there, a solution right now being put in place to try to address these challenges?
Yes. One of the issues I can say is that I think you must now have noticed that there is quite a bit of cabinet meetings that are going on as recently as yesterday, mm-hmm. and all these leaders are discussing about the way forward. You have seen also right in the states, governors are now talking about the implementation of the agreement. You have seen a lot of discussions in the issues of the economic reforms. You have seen a lot of discussions, even as I mentioned, about the constitutive process. Already the Minister for Constitutional Affairs has already come up with the committees that are going to deal with the issues of the Commission for Truth and Reconciliation. He's also focused on the judicial reforms. He has already written letters to nominate members of the judicial reforms. IGAD is involved in selecting the chair and the deputy of the judicial reforms. And these are the things that we are saying. We are beginning to see concerted efforts towards the implementation. But I must state here very clearly that it is not to the speed in which we as monitors would have expected.
All right. Thank you for talking to us. But just before you go, South Sudan, of course, tomorrow's commemorates the 10th anniversary of independence. You have been here. Just let's get out of the RJMEC for now. And let's talk about, when your country was 10, how was it like compared to South Sudan?
Well, I think you must know that we are two countries are coming from very different backgrounds. This country, 10 years, has been a lot of instability.
Mm-hmm.
My country, Kenya, 10 years of independence, that was, I think, 1973.
Mm-hmm.
1973, I was a young man also. But again, that was a country that was coming up from some progressive kind of movement. We had our own challenges. Recall, mm-hmm. we also had some problems, 65, 66 there, between the leadership differences. But again, we managed to harness and move forward. What is important is the issue of consensus, issue of cooperation, issue of sacrifice, and mm-hmm. actually it is about patriotism. You know, you have to know that the country is bigger than individuals.
Great.
And if you really get there and to understand that, then you begin to see that you can actually do a lot for your country, not expecting a lot for the country to do for you. Mm-hmm. What Kennedy said one time.
And yes, what can South Sudan learn from other countries that have gone through quite a lot of fighting and conflict, and of course 10 years we're still here like this? What can South Sudan learn moving forward? Like in 10 years they'll look back, you know what, we had a very rough beginning of the 10 years, but we can actually achieve what we want to. Now going forward, what do you think should South Sudan and South Sudanese put in place in order to really reach their full potential as one of the prosperous countries in Africa?
South Sudan needs to know that 10 years that has elapsed now has been a time of big challenge for the country. Now that the country has come up with a decision to have the agreement, the revitalized agreement, the regional conflict, South Sudan, which actually they signed, this is a significant move. What is left now is for the country to reflect on this document and say, this is our Bible going forward. Mm-hmm. This is a document that we want to implement. Out of this, we are going to be in other disasters. Mm-hmm. So let us sacrifice, let us commit ourselves, let us also, go out of our way to see that we are able to implement this agreement to the letter and spirit. And this agreement has very good things for this country. It's supposed to come up with a new constitution, supposed to come up with an election law. Mm-hmm. And then the election law is supposed now to bring up a new government or an elected government. And unless we go this road, and a commitment to ensure critically that the force has to be one. You cannot have a country with militaries all over, because mm-hmm. one of the things that if you do not unite the forces to be one force under one commander-in-chief, forces that are loyal to the country and to the constitution and to the head of state, who is one, not many, who is a commander-in-chief, who is one, not many, that is all over the world. That is how it is like. And mm-hmm. this is something that there must be what you call a paradigm shift in the total thinking of the political structure in this country. So
thank
they begin to see that they need to really refocus themselves if you're going to go forward.
Well, thank you so much. But just before you go, one more question. Yesterday, the swearing-in of the, appointed transitional legislative assembly members have been postponed. What is your reaction to that?
I must say that this must be issues to do with, I have not yet very, right now I have not been able to understand what happened. We were expecting this to happen. We were ready to go and attend the swearing-in ceremony, but we just learned last night that it's been postponed. I'm yet to find out what went wrong.
All right.
Yeah.
Final message to South Sudanese as they celebrate their 10th anniversary.
I want to tell the great people of South Sudan that they should keep hope alive. This is just one of the things that happen around, but I think this country has a lot of potential. I like the people here. They are very resilient, very focused, very, very, very energetic. And actually, if there are people who are patriotic, it's the people of South Sudan. And I would wish their leaders would actually really relook themselves and see that they have a population that is interested to have peace. And the way forward is to implement this agreement.